for what he does in our lives. Mark chapter number 4, if you would. Mark chapter number 4. And once you get there, go ahead and stand with me. Mark chapter number 4. Mark chapter number 4. Told you this morning I'm going to preach you a message about the types of storms that we have in our lives. There are two types of storms that we will face in this Christian life. Two types. There's only two types. And many times when we go through trials, when we go through storms, we often want to blame the devil, or we want to give credit to God. Well, you are accurate in the fact that that's the only two places storms can come from. But I'm going to show you how to differentiate between the two. Because we give the devil too much credit in our lives. We blame the devil way too much, when a lot of it is our own making, or a lot of it is our own insecurities, instabilities. And then we want to question God's love. So we're going to use this first passage here as a springboard into the next two types that we're going to get to. Mark chapter 4, look at verse 37. Notice, and there arose a great storm of wind. Notice your Bible says it was a great storm. Okay? Here's a great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Doesn't mean that it was raining. It was a wind storm at this time. It says, and he was in the hinder part of the ship. This is Jesus asleep on a pillow. Don't get mad at those that take naps. Amen. Even Jesus, be like Jesus, take a nap. Amen. Here Jesus is taking a nap. It says, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They question whether or not God loved them. They question whether or not God cared about them. Now Jesus is in the midst of the storm with them. He's right there with them, and they're still questioning his love. Here, verse 39, he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truths of the Word of God. Help us, Lord, as we use this passage here is a springboard. We're going to catapult to two different other passages. We're going to look at two types of storms in our lives that we face. And oftentimes we tend to blame you for this. And Lord, we many times are very immature in that. Lord, I know I've done that in my life, and for that I'm sorry. But Lord, help us to understand the reasons for storms and be able to differentiate between the storms and trials that we face. Teach us your word tonight as we go through scripture. We ask you, saints, your name I pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Here in this passage, the Lord leads his disciples into a storm. Let me state that again. The Lord leads his disciples into a storm. Jesus knew it was going to storm. Jesus knew the problems they were going to face. But he still allowed them to come into this storm. He led them into this. He was asleep in the hinder part of a ship. They were tossed about on the ship. Jesus was rocking around like a little baby, amen? He's just allowing the crib to rock, praise God. He was just sleeping. Now that's how I do in storms. I can sleep through a storm. It doesn't matter what's coming. I can sleep through it all. Amen. You ask my wife. She's up every hour on the hour. It's storming. It's thundering. And I'm asleep snoozing, sawing logs over there. I'm going to be like Jesus during a storm. Here, Jesus led them. The disciples become scared. And the very first thing that they do is they question God's love for them. Now think about this. We do this often in our lives as well. We go through a trial. We go through a hard time. We face a hard thing in life. And the very first thing that we do is we question, God, don't you love me? God, aren't you there? Where are you at? Here, Jesus was right there. They questioned whether he cared that they die. He calms the storm, not for them, but to show his power. And then he rebukes them for not believing in who he was. He rebukes the storm. He rebukes the sea. But he also rebukes the disciples. And he says, why are ye so fearful? Now, God has not given us a spirit of fear, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 1:7, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Okay? So when we're going through trials and we begin to have fear, understand that fear did not come from God. Okay? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? I believe personally that this was a test for these disciples. And they failed it royally. They failed it. He said, why is it you're so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? He didn't say that they had little faith. He said, you have no faith at all. How is it that you have no faith? Again, they were questioning his very love for them in the midst of this storm. Now understand, so often during storms in our lives, our vision becomes obscured and we begin to question God and his love and his care for us, just like the disciples did. We begin to get distracted by the hard times and the things that we are facing, and we begin to question whether or not God really cares, whether or not God's paying attention to us down here. God, why would you let this happen? Now listen, there's nothing wrong at all with asking why. Jesus Christ asked, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But it's all about the tone and the attitude that we have when we ask God these questions. Here, their attitude was, God, don't you even care? Here, the disciples, they failed to recognize that even in the midst of the storm, that Jesus Christ still had their best interest in mind. Now, we're going to look at two different Bible characters, and I'm going to show you how you can tell in your life whether a storm has come from the devil or whether a storm has come from God. Okay? Because both can bring storms into our lives. Both can. And the devil brings storms that hurt, while God allows storms that help. Okay? And we're going to look at both aspects tonight. Go to Job chapter 1. Go to Job chapter 1. The first one we're going to look at is the storms that the devil brings. The storms that hurt. The trials that hurt. And we're going to face both of these in our Christian life. But we've got to be able to differentiate between the two and not just question God's sovereignty, not just question God's love, and not even begin to just blame the devil just because. Well, the devil's fighting again. Well, not always. If it's a storm that hurts, then yes, the devil's fighting. But if it's a storm that's meant to help, then the devil's not fighting. It could be the Lord's working, and we're trying to attribute something God is doing to something the devil's doing. By the way, that's called blasphemy. Here, the first time of storm that we're going to cover is the storm that hurts. Satan is the author of this kind of storm. Job chapter 1 is where you should be. Look at verse number 6. Job 1, 6. It says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. So here Satan is scouring the earth as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We know 1 Peter 5:8. Verse 8, and the Lord said unto Satan, here they have a conversation. Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? That means, simply means he hates evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? He said, Job's only fearing you because you got protection on him. Notice verse 10. Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. So here, Satan is saying, God, if you would put your hand on Job, and you would begin to hurt him, he will curse you. Well, God doesn't allow storms that hurt. He only allows storms that help. So, notice what God told him. He said in verse 12, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. He said, you can touch whatever you want in his life, just don't touch his body at this point. And so God was allowing the devil to try Job at this time. Let's look to see how the devil hurt Job. Notice verse 14. Well, look at verse 13. And there was a day, verse 13, when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep. Notice what they're doing. They're blaming God. God wasn't the author of this. God allowed this, but the servants were wrong. It wasn't God who did it. And this is where we're at a lot of times in our lives, our Christian lives. We begin to falsely attribute certain things to certain characters when they don't belong to them. Here was a storm that was going to hurt Job, and God allowed the devil to do this. The fire didn't come from God. The fire came from the devil. Now, verse 16. While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands, and fell upon the camels, and carried them away. Yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Here in these few verses, we see that Job was hurt financially. Here his oxen, his asses, his sheep, his camel, his servants, every bit of his livelihood as far as his farm was concerned, everything that brought him financial gain had been destroyed. Here he was hurt financially. You see, when a storm comes in your life and it begins to hurt you financially, it's not always that God is the one that's the author of that. It could be the devil. Here, the devil brings storms that hurt. Here it hurt him financially. Not only did it hurt him financially, it also hurt him economically. Here, now he couldn't sell the meat of these animals. They were all dead. Here he couldn't make the cloth and the fabric that was needed from the sheep. They were all dead. Here he couldn't garden and till his land because his oxen were dead. So it hurt him not just financially, but it also hurt him economically. He couldn't do the work that was needed. Look at verse number 18. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Here, it hurt his posterity, his family. It killed all of his children. Here, the devil is attacking Job. If you look at chapter number 2, the Lord and Satan have another conversation. And Satan says in verse number 4, Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, and all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. Here again, Satan is trying to get God to touch Job. God's not falling for his tricks. Because God doesn't bring storms that hurt. The devil does. All right? Here the devil then is now has access to his life, to his body, but he cannot destroy his life. Verse 6. Look at verse number 7 now. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Here, this storm hurt Job physically. So it hurt him financially. It hurt him economically. It hurt his posterity or his family. And now it hurt him physically. Then if you look at verse number 9, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. His wife was blaming God for the storm. That's how we often do. Listen, we're pretty hard on Job's wife, but she acts just like most of us do. We often blame God for the hard times. Here, Job was going to retain his integrity, yes. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. He says, quit being a fool. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. He didn't blame God because he knew it was being allowed for this time. Then you'll notice, look at verse 11. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was coming upon him, they came every one from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. For they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. When they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept, and they rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and seven nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Here, it hurt him socially as well. You'll find over the next course of the next several chapters that not only his wife turned her back on him, all three of his friends begin now to blame him and ask him what wrong he had done for God to allow this in his life. So here it hurts him socially. In chapter number 3, we don't have time to get to it all. But in verse number 3 of chapter 3, he said, let the day perish wherein I was born, in the night which is said, there is a man child conceived. Let that day be darkness. Here, this storm also hurt Job mentally. He became depressed and discouraged. He was downtrodden. He was distraught. He was in a pit of despair. He was discouraged. It hurt him mentally. It affected him. Now, all these things hurt Job. There is a side note at verse 13. The Bible says, none spake a word unto him. There in chapter 2. There's a side note. Not part of the message, but a reminder for you. Sometimes when people are going through stuff, sometimes just sitting there and listening to them is all you need to do. Sometimes people need to know that there's somebody that cares. Here, they sat for 7 days and didn't say a word. Sometimes you may not know what to say, but being there is enough. Okay. Side note, not part of the storm. Here, Job's storm, he was hurt. Financially, he was hurt economically, he was hurt in his posterity, he was hurt physically, he was hurt socially, he was hurt mentally. But through all of this, Job remained faithful to God, and he never cursed God once. Go to the end of the book, Job chapter 42. As a matter of fact, in Job chapter 42, look at verse number 10. The Bible says, and the Lord turned the captivity of the Job. So this captivity, that was his trial. That was the hard time he was facing. The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. That's a little side note there. God just throws that in there. He also gave Job twice as much as he had before. Twice as many kids, twice as many oxen, twice as many ass, twice as many sheep. Twice as many servants, twice as much money, twice as much land. God just blessed him immensely. Why? Because he stayed faithful through his storm. Because he did not curse God in the midst of the storm. He understood that the storm was allowed in his life and that Satan was the one that was bringing the hurt to him. You see, sometimes you're going to go through trials in your life. Sometimes you're going to go through storms in your life. And everybody around you is going to tell you to turn your back on God. When in all reality, you need to understand that if it is a storm that is hurting things in your life, God has allowed Satan to hurt you for a reason. And it could be so that you can prove your love to God. What was the thing God said about Job? He was a perfect and upright man, one that feared God, one that eschewed evil. God knew that he could allow whatever storm to come into Job's life and that Job wouldn't curse God. Now think about that. If God, again, I've made this statement before, God has Satan on a leash. Okay? Satan couldn't do anything without God's permission. Okay? So God allowed Satan, yes, to try Job. And these storms hurt Job in many different ways. But God wasn't the one that put his hand on Job. Satan was. Okay? In the midst of all of this, God allowed it Because he knew Job wouldn't turn his back on God. Now think about this. When you go through a storm and it's beginning to hurt you in your life, physically, mentally, socially, financially, economically, whatever, and it begins to hurt you, do you begin to blame God? You have to answer that yourself. Job didn't. And because Job didn't, God multiplied his blessing twice as much as times two. He multiplied. He didn't just add a blessing. He multiplied his blessings at the end of this chapter, or at the end of this book, because Job stayed faithful to God. You see, there's two types of storms you're going to face in life. The first one is going to be storms that come from the devil, and those are storms that hurt you in your life. And how we respond is going to determine what God does for us and with us. All right? Are we following along? How we respond is going to determine what God does for us and what he does with us. Now, go to the book of Jonah. Miss Katie, it's your favorite book of the Bible. I need to get some printouts with pictures. Jonah. Here in the book of Job, we see storms that hurt. But here in the book of Jonah, we see a completely different storm, and these are storms that help. These are storms that help. I'll explain it to you. Go to Job chapter 1. Look at verse number 4. Notice it says, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea." Who sent the wind? Who does it say? But the Lord. God sent this storm. You see, God allowed Satan to touch Job. But here, God is the one that's doing this storm process now. God is the one who's sending this storm. "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." You know the story here. Jonah was told to go by God. Look at verse 1. We'll give you the story. "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Adler, find a seat. Verse 3, "But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Here Jonah is running from God. He's running from the presence of the Lord. And now God has to send a storm to help bring him back to himself. Okay? Does that make sense? So the devil allows storm, or God allows the devil to do storms that hurt, okay? And God allows storms in our lives that help. So the devil's storms hurt, God's storms help. I'm explaining it to you. I want you to follow along now. Verse 4, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth their wares that were in the ship into the sea, and lightened it of them. But Jonah was gone down to the side of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep." He was being like Jesus. He was sleeping during the storm. "So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be thy God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah." Notice here, "Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil was upon us. What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What's thy country? Now what people art thou?" Here, he was a preacher and nobody knew it. They didn't know. They didn't know what occupation he had. They didn't know where he was from. They didn't know he was a Christian. Verse 9, he says, "And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid. And they said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. He said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea rotten was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee. Let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. They recognized that God was allowing the storm to get a preacher's attention. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth in the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Here they get right with God. And the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Here, Jonah was so far away from God, they didn't even know he was a preacher. And when they called on him to pray, he would not even pray. It took him 3 days of judgment inside a whale's belly. By the way, it's called a whale in Matthew 12:40. It took 3 days of judgment for him to actually begin praying. Then, after 3 days and three nights, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. He wouldn't pray during the middle of the storm. Sometimes, listen, God allows storms to happen into our life to help bring us back to Him. You say, how did this bring Him back? Well, first, notice, in chapter 1, verse number 9, He began witnessing again. He began to testify. He told them, hey, I'm a Hebrew. I'm a preacher. I fear God. He didn't even go through all the different questions they asked. He just said, I fear God. And immediately, they were afraid of Him. Also, in chapter number 2, he begins to pray again. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. It may have taken 3 days and three nights, but he started praying again. You see, this storm brought a reality to Jonah's life that he could not run far enough away from God where God couldn't find him. And God sent a storm to bring him back. And this storm helped Jonah get right with God. Not only Jonah, by the way, this storm helped others to get saved. Those mariners got saved in verse number 16. They feared the Lord exceedingly, offered the sacrifice of the Lord, and made vows. Looks like they got saved to me. In chapter number 3, verse number 4, the Bible says that Jonah started preaching again. He began to enter into the city a day's journey and cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. He preached 8 words. No, I'm not just going to preach 8 words tonight. We're well past that. But he started preaching again. God allowed a storm in Jonah's life, and it helped him. It helped him to be a witness. It helped him to own up to who he was, to be a testimony for the cause of Christ. It helped him to pray and get right with God. It helped him to go out and preach the Word of God. And then in Jonah chapter number 4, all the Assyrians ended up getting saved. 120,000 children ended up getting saved. He ended up getting over his hatred for the Assyrians. He got right with God. You say, how do you know that? Because if you study history, you'll find out that the Assyrians in the city of Nineveh built 2 separate statues, one for one of their great kings and another one for the prophet Jonah, because of the great revival that had taken place. Archaeologists have revealed that. Here, he had gotten over his hatred. God allowed a storm for Jonah to help Jonah get right with Him. Now listen, what are you saying? I'm saying there's going to be storms in our lives. The devil's going to bring storms. They're going to hurt us. And we can't just take and say, just because I'm hurting during the storm, that it's all God's fault. We've got to understand where that storm came from. If it's a storm that is hurting us, then it came from the devil. Because he wants to hurt us as bad as he possibly can without taking our life, because God's not going to let him take our lives. Our soul belongs to God. Okay? So God may allow him to do whatever he sees fit, and God may allow different things to come, but the devil is a thief. He cometh not for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Everything he does in our life is going to be to hurt us from doing the will of God. But if we stay faithful, God's blessings will rain down. And we saw that in the life of Job. But then the other type of storms are storms that help, like in the life of Jonah. And we've got to be able to differentiate between the two.
And we've got to understand that God's going to allow some storms to happen because sometimes we're stubborn and sometimes we're bullheaded and sometimes we get arrogant in and of ourselves and we think we know what's best, just like Jonah did. He didn't want to fulfill God's will. He wanted to do what he wanted to do. And God said, sorry, big boy, that ain't happening today. And God sent a storm his way, all to help him get right with God. You see, when we go through storms in our lives, we must realize, do they come from the devil or do they come from God? Satan's storms will always hurt us. He's only interested in destroying us and ruining our witness for Christ. Think about this. What kind of testimony would Job have been to his wife if he'd have cursed God? What kind of testimony would he have been to his friends if he would have cursed God? And in the end, in Job chapter 42, would God have doubled everything that he lost and given it back to him if in the midst of it Job cursed God? No, God wouldn't have. He stayed faithful and he recognized where the source of the hurt came from. Listen, I've had it about up to here, hearing it from people over and over again that they've been hurt by church. Listen, church doesn't hurt people. People hurt people. People that are being used by the devil hurt people. Okay? It's not God that hurt anybody. And any hurt that anybody perceives that they may have felt in a church or in a church setting did not come from God. It came from the devil. Because even Christians can be used by the devil. I'll say it again. Even Christians can be used by the devil. You may not be able to be possessed by the devil, but you can be influenced. And that's by oppression. And there are times, and I've seen it time in and time out, where God has gotten blamed for the devil working in someone's life. And then people want to turn tail and quit on God and quit on church altogether. Just because something bad happened and something hurt them. Well, listen, I'm not making light of their hurt at all. But what I'm saying is it was not God's fault. It was the devil's fault. And if we're going to cast blame at somebody, we need to lay the blame where it belongs. And it belongs on the devil, because he's a thief. He comes not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. He's trying to do everything that he can to limit our testimony for Christ and to cause us to become a casualty in this war that we are in. Brother David, you and I were talking about it just last week. We are in a spiritual warfare. People don't realize how much of a war that we are in currently. Is a spiritual battle each and every day. And there are more and more casualties now than ever before. More and more people that are turning their backs on God than ever before. Churches are closing their doors. People are quitting on God because of some hurt that happened. Again, I'm not making light or making little of the hurt that does happen because it is a reality. Hurting people hurt people. I understand that. But we've got to lay the blame where it belongs. And that's at the feet of Satan. Satan's the one that hurts. If we allow the devil's hurt to cause us to retaliate at God, then the devil has ultimately won. And he's turned one of God's children against him. Okay? We need to understand and realize where the storm comes from. You see, when God sends storms our way, they're always for our good and for His glory. And they are always sent to help us. Sometimes they're sent to help mold us into what we should be. You see, sometimes during a storm, and especially during a great wind, there's usually wind damage, correct? Anybody ever had wind damage from a windstorm? We've had a lot of it out at our place. Where things have gotten blown away and things have gotten removed. Sometimes when things get blown away, sometimes it doesn't always get put back up. Sometimes God may allow some wind damage in your life because He's trying to remove some things from your life. Think about that. Storms that help. Storms that help to mold us and to shape us. Because we are the potter, He is the clay. We are the clay and He is the potter. I said it backwards. He's the potter and we are the clay. And sometimes we need to be molded, we need to be shaped into what God wants us to become. And sometimes that involves a removing of something that doesn't belong. Here in the book of Jonah, they were trying to cast different things out of the ship to lighten the load. They were trying to remove some things. God was working on Jonah the whole time. He was trying to remove his hatred. He was trying to remove his rebellion. He was trying to remove his lack of prayer. He was trying to remove his lack of being a testimony and a light. See, the Lord sends storms our way. It's for our good. It's for His glory. But they're always sent to help us. We may not always see immediately how the storm is supposed to help us, but we must remember God is not trying to hurt. Rather, He's trying to mold us and to shape us into the image of His Son. Romans 8:29, we are to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. And during the storms we face, sometimes that has to happen. Sometimes in order to be conformed to something else, we have to be broken. And God may allow a breaking to take place. I know tonight's not much of a preaching message, more of a teaching aspect, but I want you to understand the storms and the trials you face in life, don't just automatically blame God for everything, because all of it may not come from God. But then don't blame the devil for what God is trying to do in your life. We need to be very particular. If these are storms that are hurting us, then these are storms that came from Satan. If these are storms that are helping us draw closer to God, then these are storms that have come from the Lord. Stand with me with heads bowed, with eyes closed. I want to help you tonight.